is outside. The trees are just like radiant with all their colors on the drive out here this morning. If you would please turn in your bulletins, and we'll go through them as quickly as we can. Our reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 3, just the first three verses, and then I shall be satisfied is what I entitled this from Psalm 17 as we go through this next Psalm of David, which is really just a delightful psalm, but it has such strong and powerful messianic overtones that it should be included among the messianic psalms. Nonetheless, I will be going through that today, and I think you're in for a treat. Our schedule this morning is our schedule this week. Well, we know what the schedule is this morning. It's all written in front of me. Anyways, the schedule for the week is 10 a.m. on Monday, the ladies' Bible study, and that's open to anybody that any of the ladies that can come in. Thursday, we're back here for our midweek study. We are currently going through the book of Joshua. And Saturday morning at 8 a.m., we're back here for men's prayer, which, of course, is open to anyone who would like to come in for prayer or for an anointing or whatever the need may be. Our next work day is this coming Saturday at the end of the week, October 27th. We've got plenty of things to do. We have cleaning to do, as always, but there's still work upstairs to be done. Hopefully, we'll be hooking the gas line up for the boiler and testing that. And so, Lord willing, things will be going, and next weekend we'll have the boiler hooked up. Continue to pray, though. Over on the sideboard, there's some election guides there. If you know your congressional district, it's broken down into the different districts. Each guide shows you a number of different topics, a number of different legislations, and the political positions of the candidates that are running for office. It's put together by the Christian Coalition, and some of the topics and criteria are very Christian oriented. Some of them are not. It makes no suggestions. All it is just a quick format to help you make an informed decision about who to vote for coming up in November. But if you know your election district, generally we are in the 23rd, 24th, 25th, or 27th in this area. So check them out and take one home if you know what your district is. And the one up on the end is a yellow sheet, and it's only presidential, the presidential race and positions, and the state senate race. It is not the congressional districts. Our Christmas holiday and craft sale coming up on September 10th. The ladies here were here yesterday, just putting things together and building and painting and pasting and gluing and all kinds of different things. It's going to be a wonderful sale. You'll be amazed at some of the things that are going to be available. But put that on your calendar Saturday, November 10th. Not only will we have things for sale, but we're going to need find volunteers to help man the sale, to work it for customers coming in. And this is the final week for the In Company with Angels display at the Memorial Art Gallery. With the Tiffany glass windows that were rediscovered not too long ago. If you haven't seen it, I can't encourage you enough to go in and see it. It's just a great display. On our prayer list this week, we have up on the top paragraph, we have all of our usuals that we're praying for, and it's so important for every one of these people. But it's a great privilege to lift them up before the Lord. And in particular, we've got Darianne and her family. Lots going on within the family with current events, and we just pray that the Lord would just bless them and bring them into a good, healthy balance. We pray also for Bill and Sharon in Syracuse. They're a couple that are just going through some really difficult times. We've put Mary Slater on the list and underlined Mary in with all of the rest that she's been going through lately. And I don't even know if she had her scheduled cataract surgery this past week, but she's going to be going in for a hernia operation too. So pray for Mary and pray for Bill. They really could use your prayers. Tom Vance and his family, you could pray for them. And also a new one on the list is Dave Stanton. He works for the city of Rochester, and he's on his feet continually, and he has just tons and tons of problems with his feet. So pray that the Lord would bless him and heal him and relieve him of any pain or anything, and pray for his salvation as well. We have Bill and Marge on the list for people here in the congregation, as well as Gloria Weatherston. Gloria is not doing great, but they're learning how to adjust now that they have hospice care in the home. They're working their way through those adjustments. And we're also praying for Linda, for Kala and Sue, for Carol and Ron. And we ask that you would just continue to pray for the Capozzi family this week. Now that the funeral is over with and things are calming down and they have a new routine to adjust to without Don. Pray for Vinny Arena as he continues to put the boiler together. The installation is almost complete. He thinks maybe one more day or two. We'll see. Just continue to pray that he finds time in his schedule. For those serving in missions, we have Tim Mumpson, we have the Kellys, we have Sean and Moses, and we have David LeCompte. Pray for all that they need. David LeCompte is scheduled to go back to Afghanistan at the end of November. So pray that he has all that he needs for his tickets and his accommodations and everything else, his travel money, as well as everything while he's there. Pray for those that are serving in the military and their families back here at home. We have Scott and Ray. We have Daphne, Chris, Michael, Kevin, Matthew, Brian, and Jesse that we're praying for. And remember to pray for our elections coming up. It's vital that we just put this initiative before the Lord. We truly do want the Lord to make sure that the right man is in office. And I have no doubt that he will be. We just would like him to be a Christian believer, and we would pray for all of their salvation as well. For those that are incarcerated, in particular Ismael and Luis and Danny, Richard, for Sam A, Sam B, for Cleverson, and all of their chaplains, and remember to pray for Jim on parole, who's doing really good up in Buffalo. Also, pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Lord directs us to in Psalm 122. Remember to pray for the church that's under persecution in so many nations around the world. And pray for Christian marriages and relationships. And one additional one to pray for, many of you remember Jim and Lynn Fox. They're building a new facility for the car repair shop that Jim started about the same time that we started church here. And they're really blessed. Probably within the month or 6 weeks, they're going to be moving into it. So pray that all goes well with that, because their business is thriving and growing. Heavenly Father, we just... Summer's not here today. Summer, Caleb's wife, Summer, isn't here today. She's down with another migraine this morning. So we'll pray for her also. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, what a glorious day that you've blessed us with. With the bright sun and the blue skies, it's just a great fall day. And Lord, we put all of these people that are on our prayer list before you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask that you would intervene. We ask that you allow us to intercede and pray for all of these people all during the week. But Lord, even with an immediate need for some healing this morning for Summer, for things that are going on with Gloria Weatherston, Lord, and for the strengthening of Mary Slater and all of the others, Lord, we just thank you. And we ask that you would minister to their hearts, eliminate or diminish the pain as you see fit according to your will. Lord, encourage those that are in chronic illnesses, Lord, and strengthen them and encourage them to continue. And Lord, if there's any on our prayer list that don't know you, from the greatest to the least, Lord, we pray that you would save them. to the uttermost. As your word says, you would that none would perish, but that all would come to everlasting life. We ask that you would heal and direct, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us this morning. Be with us, come amongst us, Lord, be in our presence, and Lord, let us be in your presence. Let us be humbled and just sit quietly at your feet and learn more about you. We pray that you would be glorified in everything that happens here today. Lord, be glorified in the word, be glorified in our worship, be glorified in our fellowship afterwards. And we just want to let you know, Lord, that we just love you, and we are so thankful for your faithfulness to us, for our own unworthiness, and Lord, your faithfulness. Lord, you're so good. We just praise you and ask you to join us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts and our minds, Lord. Open our ears to hear and give understanding to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Your Bibles to the first epistle of John. We'll read chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 together, and it's a passage that you're all familiar with. I'm sure we've even read it before as an opening to a teaching, but it's also a great reminder, and the psalm ends with the same thoughts that we begin with here in 1 John chapter 3. So if you'll read with me, beginning at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. What a wonderful statement for us to know. And we've heard about in Revelation, we've heard about in the scriptures in the Old Testament, as well as others in the New, about the fact that the Lord has a new body waiting for us, a spiritual body. And for us to understand that eventually all pain, all disease, all illness, all of those things are all going to pass away, because that's all part of the flesh. And this new body that we have is just going to be one where we can fellowship together, where we can have communion together, where we will be in communion with Christ for all eternity, every moment that there is. I can't even say every moment of every day and every moment of every night, because there won't be any more day or night. It'll just be with Christ. But to understand that we don't know what we will be like, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What a wonderful thought to understand that the spiritual body that Christ now lives in and sits at the right hand of the throne of God with, that's the body that we will have because our lives are hid in him. It's a dynamic that we don't even begin to grasp the benefits of here on this earth. I'm not sure any of us can really wrap our minds around it completely. But we know that that's what the Word says, and so we trust that God's going to be faithful to his word just because he has a really good track record of being faithful to it in the past. So if you would turn with me to Psalm 17, we'll take a look at David's words here in this prayer of his. It is thought generally that this was written probably about the time that David was in the wilderness, maybe alone or with a small group of his own men around him, but being chased. He's on the run. He's on the lam from Saul, King Saul, and Saul's men. And David writes, "Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." David's cry and his prayer to God is, first of all, hear the right. And this is like a shortened form of hear the righteous. But hear the right. The people who are right or upright in heart. And hopefully, for every Christian believer that's walking on the face of this earth, there's an upright heart. Because there is no righteousness in ourselves other than the righteousness that we gain from being in a relationship with Jesus. And so David says, you know, you've tried my heart, you've proven me, you've visited me in the night, you reveal yourself to me. And he says, you know, here I am, I'm undeserving, I know what I've done in the past, but Lord, hear the right. Hear my prayer, because I'm feeling hemmed in, I'm feeling trapped, I'm feeling like there's no hope for me. And, you know, those are things that we can all relate to. We ourselves sometimes feel trapped. We feel like we're out of sorts. The economy in this country, it hasn't touched our part of the country as heavily and as severely as it has others, but we've all felt it. We've all felt it. We all know people, if it's not ourselves, that have been downsized or laid off or have difficulty with job situations, transfers, looking for work, and yet the Lord is still faithful and has kept us all. You know, somebody asked the other day, how come you Christians keep trying and you keep trying to convert people, and yet you won't live up to the teachings of Christ yourselves? Well, that's a legitimate question for a lot of people. I know where I want to be. And I know I'm not there yet. But where I want to be and where I am today is not where I was yesterday or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Where I am today is on my way. I am a work in progress. We are all works in progress. And David is saying here, I'm a work in progress. I'm in trouble and yet I'm a believer. We read in the scriptures where Abraham's faith was counted unto him as righteousness, not having received or seen the promise, but his faith in God was counted unto him as righteousness. And that's the same kind of faith that David has. He didn't get to see the living Savior. He didn't get to see the promises at this particular time, and yet his faith would have been counted to him as righteousness as well. How strong is that faith then? And how powerful it is to understand that the faith that we have been gifted by God is counted to us as righteousness too. And so these words could very well belong to any one of us. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear to my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. They're not just fake. It's not just a put on. These are sincere, serious prayers, asking for intervention, asking for help, asking for divine strength to get through whatever the problem is. Maybe it's the economy, maybe it's work, maybe it's a relationship someplace, maybe it's a health issue, or the health issue or any of those things of a close loved one. Maybe it's family issues. Those things touch all of us. They touch all of us. As I look around the room, I see that there's things going on in people's lives that we ourselves don't necessarily have any control over. There's things that happen to our loved ones that we don't have any control over. And yet the Lord says, I'm still looking at you. I'm still looking at the right. I'm still hearing your prayer. I've got a couple of devotionals that I read during the week, and both of them were just right on the money. It was all about waiting for the Lord, waiting for His perfect timing, waiting for Him to make His will come to pass and to bring it about through the lives of those that believe and trust in Him. And it was about getting our eyes off the immediate circumstances and saying, Lord, You know where my heart is. I know where Your heart is. Lord, bring those two things together. Make Your will come to pass. But do it in a way so that it's a seamless transition, and it's not only natural, but it's supernatural, ultra-natural. That there's nothing that surprises anybody other than the fact that they realize they have a new resource and they can cry out to God. I bought a new cellular phone this last week. And I heard that there was a need for somebody. Somebody needed a cell phone, and it spoke to my heart about well, it's just going to sit in a drawer anyway. So I gave it to that person. I passed it along to them, and they got it. They had it running and up and running and everything else. And this person that received it, she said, you know, this is the phone that I wanted 2 years ago. And I thought, okay, that means you're 2 years ahead of yourself. The things that God has in mind and planned for us sometimes 2 years or 3 years in the future are the things that we want right now, but the Lord says, but the time isn't right yet. The timing isn't right. It's like, you know, having your five-year-old come up and say, hi, Dad, can I have the keys to the car? The desire is there. Maybe even the ability is there. But the timing isn't right yet. And sometimes there's that growing up that has to take place between 5 years and 16 years old. There's that maturing process, the idea of being responsible. So that we allow and we're prepared for when the Lord does give us the desires of our hearts. Sometimes we're 2 years ahead of ourselves. Sometimes we're 2 years behind ourselves and we miss opportunities. But the Lord says, are you looking to me? In the midst of all of your wants and all of your desires, are you looking to me to give you the things that you need? And then, because of obedience, because of grace, so that I can give you the things that maybe even you want, that are beyond your needs. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. David here in verse 2, he's asking the Lord, you know, you've heard my pleas, you've heard my cries. It's not fake, they're not put on. But now, Lord, judge righteously. You know, look at the things. Let your eyes behold the things that are equal. That everything is in a right perspective. And Lord, judge me. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Lord, judge us all that way, that the things in our life you would see equally, you would judge righteous judgment. There wouldn't be a double standard. We wouldn't hold ourselves to a double standard, and we wouldn't hold other people to a double standard either. He's asking for a true measure. And he's asking for justice. I'm hemmed in. I'm trapped. I'm not where I want to be. I'm on the run from King Saul, and yet Samuel has already anointed me king. But I can't take that throne until the current holder relinquishes it. I can't take it. It's not mine. It's not time yet. I know where I want to be. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know your plans for me. But there's still somebody in that position. Do you ever feel that way at work when there's, you know what you're capable of and you know that there's a position that you can fulfill? You know your duties far excel the things that maybe you're being paid for. And yet the Lord says, but the position is filled. It can't be yours until it's vacated by the current holder. Those are things that happen in the workplace all the time. It may cause, I know one person, my brother, he found himself in that position. It caused him to change careers in his 50s. That's a remarkable thing to say, I'm not getting any place. I need to move if I want to advance. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. You've checked out my heart. I've even asked you, Lord, search my heart. Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. You have visited me in the night. I dream about you. Thou hast tried me, and you won't find anything. My heart is an open book to you. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I'm not going to do anything that causes you to be ashamed of me. I'm not going to do anything that I wouldn't want somebody else to do to me. But there's something even better here. Because this is a picture of Jesus. It's not just a picture of David. Hear the right, O Lord. Well, who's right? Who is righteous other than the righteous Son? Jesus himself. As Jesus cried out to the Lord so many times, cried out to the Father so many times, he's saying, oh, hear my prayer. Give ear. It goes not out of feigned lips. Jesus didn't know what feigned lips were. He only knew how to speak the truth. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. The sentence of Jesus in judgment came forth from the Father to save all of us. Let thine eyes behold things that are equal. You see me, Lord, see all those that are around me too. Father, protect. Be just. Be merciful. You sent me to this earth. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. When I fall asleep, Father, I only think of you. I only dream of you. I dream and am reminded of those days when I was with you in heaven, in your heavenly kingdom. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Jesus' mouth would never transgress. He's committed himself to that. Turn up to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, and yet he was sentenced. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't bite back at somebody and his accusers. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Here's Psalm 17, you know, revealed in the New Testament. In verse 4, back in Psalm 17, it says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. You kind of get the implication that, Lord, Father, when you're talking about the works of men, I haven't followed the works of the destroyer like they have. Jesus never did that. David, in faith, in his heart of hearts, didn't either. He tried to stay above the fray. But there were other men that were wicked, that had their own agendas, they had their own purposes. And it didn't make any difference if it was Saul from outside of his family or if it was Absalom from within his own family. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. I have committed myself to you. In spite of what the normal human behavior is, when people are reviled, they revile back again. And we've all heard it. Anger begets more anger. Love begets more love. That's the natural thing. But Jesus is living on the supernatural plane. And to a degree, David is too. Counted as righteous. Hold up my goings in thy paths. Lord, keep me aligned with your agenda. Because I can't keep myself. There's too many distractions to this world. There's so many distractions. There's so many relationships to try to keep balanced. There's so much difficulty. Every day is a challenge. When I wake up in the morning, I think, okay, what have I got to do today? And, you know, automatically our minds go in that direction. What have I got to accomplish in the world today? And yet how different it is when we awake in the morning and we say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for the night's sleep. Praise you for visiting me in the night. You know, go to bed reading the Psalms. You won't dream of the monsters and you won't dream and have nightmares of what may happen tomorrow. You go to bed with the Psalms and you'll be dreaming of Jesus. You'll be dreaming of David. You'll be dreaming of the patriarchs and all of the characters in the Scriptures. And you wake up in the morning, you find that His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. A fresh start. A day to try it again, to be better than I was yesterday, and certainly to be better than I was a year ago or 2 years ago. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Put me on solid ground, Lord. Keep me on your path, because your path is the path of a rock. Because you're the rock. You're the path, Lord. That my foot slips not. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, verses 14 to 16, familiar passage again, but we see the same thing. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Cling to that profession of faith. Lead me in thy paths, Lord. Keep me on that path. He's passed into the heavens. Keep me on the same straight path. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's walked in our shoes. But was in all points tempted like as we are. He's had trouble with relationships. I would imagine that he probably had trouble with customers in the carpentry shop. People ordering one thing and saying, oh, well, no, that's not what I ordered. Or people saying, oh, I wanted a different kind of wood. Could you carve this out just a little bit more over here? Oh, it's 2 inches too long. It's not going to fit in the apartment. It's a design studio. Who knows? But he would have made yokes. He would have made furniture. He would have made tools to make other pieces. Sometimes we forget about the fact that if he was a carpenter, then he was a businessman too. Taking special orders, custom orders. I think back here, we took delivery of all of those light fixtures upstairs for the sanctuary, and they forgot one. So it had to be reordered. And it did. It got reordered this week. And it may be a long time before we get all of those things up and in place, but we want to make sure that we get the order, because by the end of the year, they may discontinue that product line or that particular model. So, you know, when the Lord has something in mind, you know, are we being visionaries? Do we see His plan for us, and can we align ourselves with it? Can we align ourselves with it? Jesus has been touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but it was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But we have sinned. We've been tempted. Jesus has been tempted all the same ways that we are, and yet He was able to overcome it. And that's, you know, that's the overriding message of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. To him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. And it's followed by a promise. Each one of those churches received a promise. If they would overcome. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's what David's doing now in this Psalm 17. Hold up my goings in thy past, that my foot slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O Lord. Do you understand what assurance David has? When I call upon the Lord, He hears me. When you call upon the Lord, He hears you. When we call upon the Lord together in corporate prayer, He hears us. And He hears our innermost thoughts. And He hears our innermost cries and our pleas when we can't even vocalize the need. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. David's crying out to God. Jesus is crying out to the Father. He's the defender of the righteous. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. The apple of your eye, that's somebody that's really cherished. It's a dear relationship, a cherished possession. Keep me as the apple of your eye, and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Shadow of thy wings. You know, there are so many times in the Scriptures that the Lord talks about this being under the shadow of His wings. Psalm 91 is probably the one that we're the most familiar with. Psalm 91, and I know we're going to be getting to it eventually here, but not for a few more weeks. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Abiding in His shadow. In Psalm 22, I'm getting ahead of myself. But in Psalm 91, we just looked at that. In Luke 13, Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen does her chicks, but you would not. How I would have gathered you together, but you refused to come for protection." Luke 13:34. The Lord has wings that offer protection. To be hidden under them is an incredible privilege. 13:34. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," and listen to this, "God's holy city, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not." God offers us his protection, but we have to come to him. That hen can squawk about the danger. She can flap her wings to get the chick's attention. She can cry out the warning, but unless the chicks understand that they can trust Mama Hen, they're going to be oblivious to the danger that they may be in. Maybe there's a wolf in the hen house. Maybe there's just a storm coming. But that Mama Hen says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you protection. I'll do everything that you desire and that you need me to do." Because that's what moms are for. That's what that protection is for. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, and yet how I would have gathered you together under my wings." That's the picture we have. What a wonderful picture to apply to the Lord and to God. David applying it to the Lord applying it to the Father. Except, in the Lord's case, he went. He fled to the Father for protection. He fled to the Father for strength. He fled to the Father to say, "Not my will, your will be done." Because in the enduring come blessings to many more people. Enduring the earth, enduring the world, enduring man, enduring the injustices, enduring the rejection of his people. Many more would come and his family would explode. And it has. "Keep me as the apple of thine eye, and hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about." Here's Psalm 22 again. You know, here's Jesus on the cross in Psalm 22, and he reminds us that his enemies, the dogs, compass him about. They surround him. And sometimes we feel like we're surrounded. We feel like, you know, the mimes do. There's an invisible wall and I can't break through. "They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly." They're boastful. They're threatening. And they're bold. With accusations or with criticisms. They speak proudly. "They have now compassed us in our steps." And do you see in this particular verse, "They have now compassed us in our steps that have set their eyes bowing to the earth." There's a unity where David finds himself in the presence of God and aligned with God. He says, "It's not my steps, it's our steps. They have now compassed us in our steps." And I know that a lot of people speak in the collective. You know, they speak about themselves in a group or in third person. But here's David saying, it's not our steps, it's not my steps. I'm in your steps. I know I'm on solid ground. I know I'm walking in the path of righteousness. And now they have got their eyes bowed to the earth. Why have our enemies got their eyes bowed to the earth? They're watching our footsteps. They're waiting for a foot to slip. They're waiting for a chance. They're waiting for a chance to attack. Wait till he gets weak. He's walking with God now, but just wait. He's going to slip up eventually. They have set their eyes bowing to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy for of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Have you ever seen a cat? And the big cats on Channel 21, or maybe a neighborhood cat, you know, getting ready to pounce on some little mouse or a chipmunk. They crouch down low and they look and they stealthily creep in as close as they can. Their ears go back on their head flat so that they don't, you know, the prey doesn't see their ears. And they wiggle and they stalk and they look and they plot and they plan. My cat's too old to do that anymore. Suddenly the thing scampers away and he's missed his chance. And then he just sits up straight and puts his ears back up. But he missed his chance because that animal's feet did not slip. The prey's feet didn't slip. They've come past us about. They have set their eyes down to the earth like a lion greedy of his prey. They're waiting for that sign of weakness. They're waiting to be able to judge that gazelle or that impala that might be weak or old or maybe has been crippled. They watch the feet. They watch the walk. People are watching our walks. People are watching our feet to make sure that they don't slip. And if they slip, they're coming. They're coming after us. Arise, O Lord. Disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. That's the job, that's the role of your sword. That two-edged sword, your word. Cast them down, Lord. Defeat them. Reveal to me, reveal to them your faithfulness to your faithful ones, to your righteous. Who are not righteous other than we bear the righteousness of the Son. Disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. Deliver, overcome, defeat them, Lord. If ever there was a cry for help, Lord, thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress, all the way up from verse 3. I'm not doing anything. I'm not aggravating anybody. I'm not provoking anybody. It's just because I'm a believer. It's just because I'm in dire straits in the world. And the world knows us not because it knew him not. As we read. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from the men which are thy hand. Sometimes the Lord uses men in judgment against us. O Lord, from the men of the world which have their portion in this life. They have their role, they have their purpose. But it's in this life, not in the life to come. God used, just as he did the Assyrians and the Syrians against Israel, he used them mightily in judgment against his own disobedient, compromising children. But they also got what they were deserving. Syria is still a country. But no, have you met an Assyrian lately? They're gone. just like in our evening study during the week. Anybody, met an Aite? Ai was destroyed. It was no more. There was no more city. They were all destroyed. Although I do know a lady. Her maiden name was Aia. Aia. That was her name, her maiden name. But she wasn't an Aite. Save me from the men which are thy hand. You've used them, Lord. O Lord, from the men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. Lord, you put treasure in their hearts and in their bellies, and they consume it upon their own lusts. That's what Paul talks about. Why aren't our prayers heard? Because sometimes we pray amiss, and our prayers are to consume the blessings upon our own lusts rather than spread them to others. He says, they are full of children. They're prolific. They leave the rest of their substance to their babes. Don't let them prosper with the spoils that they take from the righteous. Put an end to them. Destroy them. Let their children inherit the spoils. The children don't want them. They won't know how to use them. And then he says, as for me, I will behold thy face. The wicked will get what's coming to them. The wicked will be destroyed by God. But I, and this is David, this is Jesus, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I'll behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What a wonderful promise that David sees in the Psalms, something that John is going to write about. A thousand years into the future. It's incredible to see how the New Testament ties in with the Old, and they reflect one another, and the stories are the same because Solomon tells us in the Word, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same stuff. Men's hearts are the same as they were before. You either have a wicked heart or you have a righteous heart. But if you want a righteous heart, you have to relinquish the wickedness. You have to come to Christ. You have to find your hope and your trust in Him. And that means you get rid of the trust that you have in yourself and you say, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to keep my eyes focused on the Lord because I want to make sure that if I'm struck down in a second, I want to make sure that when I wake up, I see Him face to face. And I find myself hid in Him. When I awake and I find myself with His likeness. Heavenly Father, that's the desire of all of our hearts. To look forward to that day that when we will see you face to face. And Lord, in the meantime, apparently there's some work you're doing in us and through us, trying to get us to relinquish self and to become other-oriented, to respond to the needs of others that are sometimes in desperate and dire needs. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement that's needed, or sometimes it's something, more practical. But Lord, there's always an opportunity. Lord, the biggest opportunity is what we have with our own mouths, and that's to spread the gospel, to point people to Jesus, and to let them know that in hard times or easy times, in good times or in bad, and sometimes in sickness and in health, Jesus is our defender. He's our protector. He's our provider. He's our God. And to let people know that, and that He's trustworthy. And to be able to share a brief minute of testimony with them and how the Lord has worked with us. Lord, we pray that You would embolden us, especially now in these last days, especially now perhaps in these pre-election days. Lord, we don't know what You have in mind. We don't even know if You're not going to call the church off the earth before Election Day. Or maybe it'll be after Election Day, but before Inauguration Day. We talk about Your soon return, Lord. Help us to be prepared. Help us to be the people that You want us to be today. In Jesus' name, amen. From Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. God bless you. Have a wonderful and blessed week.